KALW.
This is TBH. I'm Anthara Gangwal, a senior at Leland High School in San Jose, and your host for today's episode. This podcast is made by, about, and for teenagers, and for anybody else who wants to hear what's on our minds.
And I'm Amalia Madrid Lilly, a senior at Oakland Technical High School, and your other host for this season of TBH. So Anthara, tell me about what we're going to be hearing today.
Today's episode is about the importance of schools in the fight for LGBTQ+ rights. Amaya Dorman McKenzie just graduated from Berkeley High School, and she has two moms. She's going to share her experience. Hey Amaya, so why did you decide to do this story now?
Well, I think LGBTQ+ rights are a hot topic for this upcoming election. We're seeing far-right politicians attacking LGBTQ+ students. I mean, in 2023 alone, state lawmakers introduced 42 bills in at least 23 states that restrict discussions around gender and sexuality in K-12 schools. There's been so many more anti-LGBTQ+ bills introduced and signed so far this year, and depending on how the election goes, this may just be the beginning.
Why do you think politicians are focusing on schools and students?
School is where you spend most of your time as a kid, right? So school is where you're getting a lot of those formative messages that impact your beliefs. What your teachers talk about in the classroom is what you will learn, and the social culture of your school will be the one you exist in every day. And a lot of this is out of the control of parents, but parents often have really strong opinions about what their kids should be learning and what their environment should be like. And parents are voters, and children are the face of the future, so everyone has a stake.
So, Amaya, you've had a pretty unique schooling experience. How do you think your story could help others?
I just wanted to share my story about growing up in a school district that did care about LGBTQ+ students, even though it wasn't perfect all the time. I think my experience could inspire people in other school districts to speak up for what they need and to be allies at a time when people in government at local and federal levels aren't always on the side of the LGBTQ+ community.
Well, I'm really excited to hear it.
Sitting around the dinner table every night is a routine so familiar and grounding for me. I love to look at my family's faces around the table, so happy to be eating a meal cooked by Mama, my mom, Sonia. Often, it is a time full of raucous laughter as my little brother makes witty jokes and my other mom, Mommy or Kim, weighs in with good-humored comebacks. My moms always tell this story about how I expressed my pride in my family from a really young age. Here's Sonia.
You came home from preschool one day, and you'd been playing with your friends, and you were playing animals because that's what you always like to play. And one of your friends had said, well, in a family, there always has to be a mommy and a daddy. And you had said, that's not true, because in my family, I have a mommy and a mama and a donor.
I have been in the Berkeley Unified School District, or BUSD, for my whole school career, 12 years. I just graduated, and I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. My experience was, of course, imperfect, but overall, I felt accepted and safe. As I look back, I realize how much of this positive experience was shaped by the efforts of the community around me, especially my mom's and other queer families. As soon as I started elementary school, my parents realized they weren't getting the support they were looking for, and they took it upon themselves to fill that gap.
As queer families, we had an incredibly important role to create kind of an institutional set of traditions that would allow us to feel seen and celebrated that weren't there.
That was one of my moms, Kim. At that time, more elementary schoolers were identifying as transgender and non-binary. But even in progressive Berkeley, California, they were experiencing bullying and exclusion. My other mom, Sonia, a researcher in the area of public health and gender studies, knew she needed to do something about this.
Why is it that we are so threatened by someone who does not cohere to a gender binary defined by masculinity norms, femininity norms. Why is this? Why is it that this is something that threatens people so deeply, right?
That's why she helped start the gender justice program at my elementary school when I was in fifth grade and my brother in second. It was a 12-week program that ran for 2 consecutive years and was designed to help kids deepen their understanding of gender norms and different kinds of families, as well as being an ally. The Trevor Project is an LGBTQ+ crisis intervention nonprofit. They conducted a survey in 2023 that shows that LGBTQ+ youth with access to affirming homes, schools, and online spaces, as well as access to gender-neutral bathrooms at school, reported lower rates of mental health issues. In other words, they have a much better experience at school when policies make explicit efforts at inclusion. And that's what gender justice was all about. Here is Ashley Talbot, my old kindergarten teacher and co-creator of Gender Justice. She also says that allyship was essential.
We created Gender Justice to be a place where kids could feel safe, where they could have allies to be with them, their peers, their friends, that, you know, could also learn language on how to be an ally and what to say to kids.
I asked Ms. Talbot what she thought the program's impact was on the community and school policy.
So I think it definitely changed how adults looked at things and how they really wanted to create like kid-centered spaces. And then I also think it helped support other kids who maybe didn't always feel as comfortable or courageous to be able to share parts of themselves. They were like, I think that I can share those parts of me. There are spaces in school where, you know, I feel extra safe to share those parts of me.
Today, the school which housed Gender Justice, Washington Elementary in Berkeley, has extensive policies in place in an effort to help all students thrive. The school has hired more queer staff, including a trans teacher who Ms. Talbot works with closely. They also have new gender-neutral restrooms and weeks of pride celebrations. The list of changes goes on. But this was not the case at other schools in the district. I talked to Zach Sinclair, a trans parent of a trans student who specifically requested an elementary school which they thought had the best trans-inclusive policy.
Because the principal is so, like, supportive of trans kids and non-binary kids in his school, he does extra trainings with the teachers, which should not be school site by school site based. It should be a little bit more uniform.
It's easy to imagine how a principal with different priorities might create a less trans-inclusive space on their campus simply because there are not regular district-wide trainings for all staff on LGBTQ+ student needs. And sometimes essential things get overlooked. Emma Kniesbacher, a senior at Berkeley High. She's the president of the Alliance for Gender Expansive Youth at her school and has been fighting for the basic right to bathrooms for the past year. Here is Emma.
And Berkeley High is not a safe space or a happy space to be a trans kid. Because if you're a trans kid at Berkeley High, when you need to use the bathroom, you either have to walk all the way across the school, which you aren't allowed to do, technically, because the hall passes only let you into one building. Or you have to hide out in a teacher's bathroom. But if you try to use a teacher's bathroom, odds are one of the administrators will walk up to you and say, you can't go there, walk all the way across the school.
But it isn't just bathrooms that are a problem. She says the support given to students at the elementary school level is insufficient for dealing with this kind of ingrained negativity in the high school culture.
Berkeley's really ostensibly progressive, like superficially it tries to make everybody safe, regardless of ethnicity and gender and sexuality and class. But in reality, when you get to things that actually take a lot of hard work, when you get to actually making difficult situations, difficult realities for students and everyone in this city better, Berkeley doesn't step up unless it's forced to.
the district's slow response to the requests of the trans and non-binary high schoolers was demoralizing, and it added to feelings of invisibility and vulnerability at school.
Really, every trans person I know has struggled with their mental health at some point, and most of them have struggled with it a lot because this society, this country, doesn't make trans people safe, doesn't accept us, and it's not going to accept us anytime soon unless we fight for it.
And fights just like this are happening everywhere, taking place on the local, state, and federal stage.
Kids learn how to differentiate and how to discriminate. These are learned behaviors. And if we actually want to counter this, we have to understand that kids actually learn how to be allies.
That's Sonia again. More and more people are getting on board with this frame of mind. The Biden administration has made significant changes. Anyone who has ever advocated for LGBTQ plus student support, like Kim, knows that the most important fighting is done close to home.
What has worked consistently at a small scale is a group of teachers and administrators and school board members who have really listened to the voices of those whose experience we're talking about, so queer and transgender students and families.
So really, it's up to us and our allies to make sure that our voices get heard. That's what's going to make us safe. We know who we are, and we know what we need. We just need you to listen.
Thanks, Amaya. Even with the national election coming up, it's important to remember that local advocacy can still make a huge difference. So, Amalia, what should listeners expect for next week's episode?
Next week, we'll hear from Jeremy Straws. He's telling us about the effects of the war on Palestine in the Bay Area Jewish community.
I'm really looking forward to hearing about his personal connection to this story. That's next time. Stay tuned. You've been listening to TBH, a podcast from KALW Public Radio. The feature you heard in this episode was produced by Amaya Dorman McKenzie. It was edited by Sarah Lai Sterling, who taught in the program along with Troop Nguyen.
Ava Richards is our production assistant. Our artwork was created by Awan Mance. James Rollins and Tarek Fuda are our engineers. Shireen Adel is our supervising editor. Ben Trefney is our executive producer. This project was made possible with support from the California Arts Council, California Humanities, Silicon Valley Community Foundation, and Association for Continuing Education. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Amalia Madrid-Lilly, along with Anthra Gungwal.